This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is the fourth and final part of a series on Floor Radio where we've been looking at the future. My guest is a futurist. His name is Andy Hines. He's the director of consulting at Social Technologies, an international research firm. One of the more difficult areas I would imagine to foretell would be government. Do you see anything in your crystal ball that would indicate a radical change there?
Well, I wish I had a crystal ball, but we do work with some government agencies, and it's interesting. We've had several inquiries, not just from the U.S. government, but from others who are coming to us and saying, you know we need to be thinking about the future more systematically. Can you help us kind of design a way to do that? That insulates us from, you know, kind of political pressures where, you know, new administration comes in and, you know, everything has to start all over. So I think there's an interesting kind of ferment in lots of government agencies, and they want to actually talk to one another and kind of learn from each other, like, what works for you, and I tried this, and what do you think? And so I'm kind of mildly optimistic that we're going to see foresight kind of get back involved in government a little bit more than it has been. I think the last couple decades or so have been so focused around cost cutting and streamlining that maybe we've lost a little sight of foresight.
I guess that's going to take some futurist politicians, I suppose, before that happens. Do you see any out there on the horizon?
Well, you know, certainly, and I'm not trying to endorse one over another, but, you know, Al Gore was a member of the World Future Society, and so he's certainly, and on the Republican side, Newt Gingrich was also a member of the World Future Society and a longtime sort of futurist thinker. So there are some who are, you know, who are thinking that way, and I think everybody does. It's just to what extent it's, you know, sort of more formally thought through.
Yes, and having a government and an organization like that with the changes and so on, it seems like that would be awfully difficult place to bring some kind of wholesale change.
Yeah, I think there, I would suspect that efforts in government would be piecemeal rather than wholesale. I wouldn't expect, revolutions are very difficult. And so it would be kind of, you know, how do we be strategically kind of incremental about it and gradually put a foothold for foresight into government agencies.
I hear you. Now, Andy, a lot of our listeners are in the floor covering business. They make and they market a wide variety of commercial and residential products, ceramic tile, laminate, carpet, wood, vinyl, et cetera, et cetera. Talk about things that would perhaps be, you know, that they might be involved in the future and be interested in the future. I'm talking about building trends, urban development. I suspect more people are going to move into urban areas than do now, maybe not. Development of new materials, obviously, is one area. Government regulations. What do you see? I guess the home. Do you see the home being radically different 25, 30, 40 years down the road than it is right now?
Well, you know, the home is really an interesting one, because I got to say that many of us are scratching our heads, because, you know, all of our analysis would suggest that we'd be moving towards smaller, more energy-efficient homes. Our own two eyes are telling us a different story, and the data would back that up, that we're actually seeing, you know, homes are getting larger, and while there is a nod towards energy efficiency, it's still a little bit puzzling. And you know, that's one of the, if this work was all sort of intuitive and straightforward, I guess it would be boring. So it's kind of interesting when we get a puzzle like that. So we're kind of trying to figure out how that's going to break over the long term.
I guess so. A lot of that must hinge on income then. People that make more money spend it on their homes, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, that would fit with, you know, a trend towards, you know, seeing the home as sanctuary. So it's not that it's without any evidence, But, you know, in balance, we would just suspect a longer-term trend towards sort of smaller, more compact and efficient, but it's not here yet. Where we are seeing it, I think, that trend is in green buildings, and I'm sure that, you know, your listeners are aware of that. I mean, the green building trend has really accelerated over the last couple of years, even beyond what we might have anticipated. So in one sector, we see, you know, it's kind of on trend, if you will, and another, we're scratching our heads a bit.
We're going to pause here for a brief message.
I'm with Vinny Verger, president of Flooring America. Vinny, what are the primary benefits for a retailer joining the Flooring America group?
Well, that's a long list, Dave, but here are four. The best merchandising package in our industry, outstanding marketing materials, exclusive proprietary private brands, and a bigger pre-tax net profit. Give us a call at 800-252-9715. Remember, nothing ventured, nothing gained, and you have nothing to lose.
And we were talking a little bit earlier about a typical office and about how technology, what, even 25 years ago, thought maybe that would affect more dramatically than it has what a typical office would look like. Do you think that officing at home is going to change the office industry a great deal 25, 30 years down the road?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the idea that we're going to be, you know, getting in our cars at 8 o'clock and fighting the traffic to go to floor 35 in a big skyscraper downtown, I think that will be, we'll look back at that as a quaint notion of how things used to be and wonder why we did that, probably. So, you know, in that time frame that you're talking about, the distribution of work will indeed be fairly widespread. Now, this is not to say that people won't come to a workplace. Absolutely not true. I mean, I do think we'll find some kind of a balance between, you know, when do we need to really be together in a physical space, and when do we not? And let's, you know, think about that kind of strategically, so that when we do go to the office, it's really high impact time, and you know, we talk to one another. But you know, the idea that we go sit in a cubicle, we might as well be at home if we're not going to be talking to one another. So I think we'll be working out those dynamics. But certainly, over a generation, I think that the daily work life is going to physically look a lot different than perhaps our images of it are now.
So can we draw a conclusion then that very likely homes are going to be bigger and offices are going to be smaller?
I think offices being smaller, yeah, and you know, office space looking more like a you know, designed around meeting rooms and spaces that encourage people to interact and work together, for sure. The home's bigger. I'm still fighting that trend. I would suspect over the long term that might reverse itself.
I see.
And you know, one of the interesting things to think about in terms of space allocation is, you know, I think as routines get more integrated into daily life, the need for a kind of separate room or space perhaps goes away as well. So, in other words, do we as working at home becomes so routine, do we really need a separate room for working at home, or is it integrated into the fabric of everyday life at home? And one thing, if we wanted to speculate a little bit about, you know, when we think, again, thinking ahead 25, 30 years, instead of the home office, are we going to be seeing like the home health center, where, you know, more and more of our health care is performed in the home, and maybe that's where we dedicate some additional space in the future?
I see. That's interesting. That's interesting. And again, there's so many moving parts. It seems to be just what you do would seem to be awfully challenging to me.
Well, yeah, we like to think so. But, you know, one of the things that happens is, you know, after you you spend, like any discipline, after you spend enough time in it, you start to get a kind of a mental picture of how things fit together. You don't want to get that too rigid, for sure, but you know, there's a general sense of when we see a new development, it's almost like we can kind of file it into our mental model of, you know, does this fit with what we're seeing, or does it not fit? You know, so when we see a statistic like, you know, average new home size is getting bigger, we plug that into our mental model and go, oh, what's this? We have an anomaly. And then, you know, go look at and try to understand why is that happening like that.
I see. What's ahead for Andy Hines? What kind of projects you see yourself working on? Any books in the future? Any more books in the future?
Well, you know, the area of it, I think, of great interest to all futurists, and certainly one to me personally right now, is the role of values in the future. And, you know, I would have said 10, 20 years ago, I would have thought that was a boring subject with not a lot of interesting things to say. But I've really become excited in the last, over the last several years, where clients are more and more asking us, you know, what's driving, you know, what's motivating people to do what they do, and how is that going to change over the long term, and how do we get in sync with what people are going to value in the future. So that would be probably an area of, you know, so not only are we seeing project work in there, it's one we haven't probably studied enough about, and I'd really like to put some time there.
I see. That's interesting, and there's a whole host of possibilities there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the, you know, for every value, there's a, if you will, a counter value. So it's all about sort of competing priorities, and you know, I think what we're playing with now in our company is looking at a model for, you know, how are those trade-offs going to play out. I think there's some rich, fertile ground to kind of play in there and see how are they going to make their decisions.
Very interesting. Andy, I was on your website just before we talked. The company is Social Technologies. Give us your website address. It's really interesting if somebody would like to check that out after they listen to this.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, sure. It's www, and then all one word, Social Technologies. That's plural.com. So it's pretty simple.
Very good.
There's lots there to kind of whet the appetite.
Oh, I could spend all day on it. It was very interesting. As a futurist in training here.
Yeah, absolutely. You've asked very appropriate and well reasoned out questions. I think you've been doing your homework.
Well, in fact, I'd like to see if we couldn't get you back on as more things that jog my interest on the future. I'd like to give you a call again and see if we can't get you to talk about some of these things.
Well, it's my favorite subject, so anytime.
Very good. Andy, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
All mine.
Yes, sir. We've been talking with Andy Hines. He is the Director of Consulting at Social Technologies. And this is Floor Radio.